Hi, I'm Grace.
And I'm Georgina.
And you're listening to Songs We Love,
the podcast where we call each other up from across the pond to discuss all things songwriting.
We hope you guys enjoy the episode. Hi. Welcome back to the podcast, you guys. Round two, number two.
We hope you've all had a good week or month or however long is in between these episodes.
I think a week. I feel like a week. Maybe.
We can do it. Yeah. What have you been listening to this week, Grace? Any songs you've been loving?
So the song that I loved this week, I've been listening to the new Doja Cat album. Do you know Doja Cat? You listen to Doja Cat?
I don't. I think they, I don't even know that. I guess
it's a
they,
girl, yeah.
Yeah, she's released a song recently which had like a really crazy cool video, right?
She released like a lot of songs with videos recently, and they're all like kind of in the same vein. They're all like space fantasy videos.
Oh, okay, yeah. I think the one I saw, it was Kiss Me More with SZA.
Yeah. That one's cool.
Nice. So just the whole album?
Yeah, the whole album, but specifically, like, there's a song on there with Ariana Grande called I Don't Do Drugs that blew my mind when I heard it.
Oh, nice. I'll have to give that a listen. What kind of vibe is it? Is it still a similar genre to her other songs?
Yeah, it's, like, rap-ish, but it's, like, they sing in harmony together on the chorus, and they're like, ooh, ooh, ooh.
Oh, that sounds amazing. You've sold it to me.
There's just a little, like, there's a little ooh part that is just, like, the best thing. I was listening to it in the shower, and that song came on, and I was like, wow.
Wow. Good shower song. I'll give that a listen.
Yeah, I love that song. What have you been listening to?
I haven't, like, been exclusively listening to, like, this week's been one of those weeks where I kind of like go back and listen through old playlists I've created and kind of just vibing with like lots of different songs. I did go back and listen to yesterday John Bellion's album Glory Sound Prep. I don't know, do you know John Bellion?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay, you have to listen to him. He
okay.
He's like a songwriter and producer as well. He's written loads of famous songs like you know Monster, Eminem and Rihanna?
Oh, he wrote that?
Yeah, he like wrote that chorus and loads of other tunes. And yeah, I've seen him live before. He's amazing. He really like experiments with production. Like there's just some crazy production on his songs. It's like pop, but with more interesting beats and things like that. So I revisited his album yesterday, which was really nice.
Okay, I'll have to listen to that.
Nice.
Yeah, other than that, I feel like that's about all I've been listening to.
Yeah, I haven't listened to anything new, really. I listened briefly to Luke Hemmings of Five Sauce released his first solo song yesterday.
Oh, is that the only Five Sauce person to release something solo?
No. Ashton, the drummer, like, I think it was last year during lockdown, he released a couple songs called, I don't know if it's his artist name or if the album's called Super Bloom, but he released some stuff, which is, yeah, it's interesting to hear him, like, fully sing and take everything on, but I do quite like the Luke Hemmings song. It's called Starting Gun. It's got a very, like, good vibe, very upbeat and makes you feel good.
Oh, cool. Were you a fan of them back in the day?
Back in the day, I was. First album with, like, Looks So Perfect.
Yeah, that's the only song I know.
Oh, really? Yeah, that whole album, like their first album, I did actually listen to quite a bit, and even their second album. But as they've gone on, I've kind of drifted away from them, as I've drifted out of my teenage pop punk years.
I didn't even know like if they went on or not.
Oh, yeah, no,
they kept releasing albums and stuff?
Yeah, they've released, like, four albums or something, and their most recent one is really, to be fair, I haven't actually listened to it, but the songs I've listened to, the songs I have heard from the album are really, like, pop, like, moving away from rock and more towards pop and dance sounds, a bit more disco-y, I want to say. Don't quote me on that, because as you just heard, I haven't actually listened to the full album. But I think they've done, from what I've heard, a really good job of transitioning across genres and actually growing as a band, like not just releasing one album that's the same after the other.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's cool. Good for them.
Yeah.
I really liked She Looks So Perfect.
A little impromptu five sauce conversation there.
All right. Should we talk about the videos that we watched?
Yes. Yeah. So today we're going to be talking about a few different things. But one thing that's come up that we quite like to talk about is music videos and how potentially watching a music video to the song changes your perception of the song as a whole.
Especially, like, I feel like watching the video with the song, like, as the first time you hear the song with the video.
Yes, yeah.
Definitely has an effect. Did you listen to the Madison Beer song?
Yeah, so the first song we're gonna discuss is Madison Beer's Reckless. I hadn't heard the song before. I literally just watched it with the video, so I've listened to it once, but like with the video as the first time I watched and listened.
Yeah, I did too, and it was like 1 a.m. or something, so I wasn't sure if I actually liked it or not, or if it was just like good at that time. But then I watched it just now today, and I still thought it was good.
You thought the video and the song was good, or one or the other?
I thought I was surprised that I thought it was good, because it's kind of like, seems like it should be cringy to me, but I thought it was good.
Okay. Yeah, I really liked the video. I thought the video was so well made, especially in the second verse when like the lights come on in the paper houses. I thought that was really cool. I'm not a fan of the song. I don't know why. It's not a bad song. It just doesn't like, it didn't do anything for me upon first listen.
Yeah, I don't think it's a great song, but for her, I thought it was pretty good. I don't know if anyone listening is familiar with Madison Beer. I mainly know about her from my roommate's a fan of her. She was like a child star, kind of like discovered singing on YouTube by Justin Bieber, and then wanted a music career, and then the labels didn't believe in her and stuff. And then for a while, she was like a sort of puppet where everyone was writing songs for her. And now, like, on this song, it kind of seems like she just actually fully wrote the song. Because the only other people credited for writing it are, like, producer names. So I feel like she actually wrote that, and you can kind of tell. Sometimes when stuff written by someone like that is, like, plainly written, you can tell that they probably actually wrote it.
Yeah. No, I get what you mean. I agree. I think I haven't heard any of her other stuff, but it's very believable in terms of, I would believe that she's written it, and kind of the lyrics in the song as well, the subject matter, I would 100% believe that that's something she's felt and she's written herself.
I'm just curious if she is going to end up being actually relevant in the music industry, because she was someone that was like kind of seen as a joke for a while, but now it's trying to be really serious. I saw someone, I think it was like just the headline of an article or something about Madison Beer, and they were saying that she was like pop star turned influencer turned pop star again.
Oh, okay. So she's gone back and forth.
Yeah. Like, she lost all her record deals, and then she just became an influencer and then got record deals again.
Fair play, though, if, you know, she wasn't really getting on with people in the industry and then has stuck with it and is now releasing music again. That's quite cool.
Yes. But I did think the video was cool. I thought it was kind of similar to, like, some of the Folklore videos. I don't know which video I'm thinking of, but just the really like hyper produced video, like it looked like a movie or something.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it wasn't going for subtlety at all. It was really, you know, these crazy visual effects that were helping to tell the story. I liked how it ended as well. I don't really know what happened, but she just dove into a pool and came up with loads of paper. That sounds really bad.
Yeah. No, I loved that. I loved that part. But yeah, that was an example of, I think if I would have just heard the song playing, I would have really thought it was not good at all. But with the video, I liked it.
Yeah, I agree to a certain extent. I think even with the video, I don't think I really like the song. But I like the video, so it gives me a better perception overall, I think.
Now we're going to talk about the Ash and Phineas video.
I asked Grace to watch the Ash and Phineas video for Till Forever Falls Apart. Do you have any thoughts on it before I share mine?
I thought it was cute. I feel like I also would have not liked it as much if I didn't watch it with the video first. But they were such good dancers.
Yeah, so for anyone who hasn't seen the video, it's kind of just Ash and Phineas in a really aesthetic sunset setting. And them kind of dancing together, but also in a more interpretive way. Like it is obviously choreographed, but not heavily, if that makes sense.
Yeah, they look like they're in Nevada or something.
Could be.
In some type of deserty, mountainy sunset. And they have cool outfits on.
Yeah, the whole thing for me is just so aesthetically pleasing. And I can't remember, I think I actually, because this song, I mean, bold statement, but I think it's probably my song of the year so far.
Your song of the year?
I don't know. Maybe that's too bold, but I have played and played and played this song. But I think the first time I watched it, I listened to it, was with the video as well. And I just think, well, firstly, it's the complete opposite from Madison's video in terms of, yeah, you know, probably budget and production and in terms of effects. But I just think the video adds to the vibe of the song. And I think it just, because the lyrics are kind of talking about being okay in a world of uncertainty, and I think just showing them being so happy and just dancing together as friends just makes me really happy. And how they like accentuate the beats of the drums and the bass in their dance moves just makes it such an experience, I think.
Yeah, I feel like I would definitely, I don't know if I would listen to the song outside of the video, but I would listen to it with the video and show that to people. Especially, like, I want to show it to my dancer cousin.
Oh, yeah.
And see what her opinion of the dance.
Yeah, you should. You should. I think it, after seeing the video, now whenever I play the song, it makes me want to dance like that. So I'll put it on in the kitchen when I'm cooking and I'll fully be like going for it with all the moves in time with the music.
Yeah, you should learn the dance that they do.
We should try and learn it and like film it from, I don't know, in like a split screen and put it together.
Yeah, we can do that, and it can be like a podcast highlight.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I'm kind of down to do that, actually. It would be really bad, but really funny.
Okay, well, any other notes on that video? I just loved that yellow outfit that Ash had on.
I feel like you'd really like her style in general.
I used to really, really like when she had that first like EP that had that one really trippy Alice in Wonderland song.
Oh, I don't know if I know the song.
I used to love that song. It was in a Taco Bell commercial. I guess that wouldn't be in England.
No. Although I think we have got a few Taco Bells now, but you're not going to be getting adverts of it on the TV.
Well, somehow Taco Bell chose this song. I think it was Taco Bell. I liked the moral of the story song too.
Yeah, I liked that. I think, without going on too much of a tangent, I would just recommend everyone to listen to her debut album, Ashlyn, because there are some really incredible songs on there. Like, that also could potentially be an album of the year, but I need to stop making bold statements now because I haven't thought these through.
Yeah, I need to listen to that. I'm looking at her discography and she has so many EPs and like singles. There's like 20.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought she'd only released like two or something before her album.
Well, I don't know if they're all EPs or if they're just like songs and collabs. She has a song with Louis the Child, like an EDM song.
Oh, when I hear Ash, I do not think EDM.
No, she used to be doing stuff like that. I used to like her back then. It's not that I don't like her anymore. I just like forgot.
I'll have to take a deep dive into her discography. But I think you'll like her stuff now. It's a lot more singer-songwriter, but in a slightly more experimental way. Like, I think she uses more unusual chords than typical pop songs.
Afterlife is the song that I used to be obsessed with.
Okay, I haven't heard that song.
It's really strange and cool.
Well, the list just keeps building of things I need to listen to after this.
All right, well, I really want to hear your opinion on the cardigan edit.
Yeah, so do you want to explain what you mean by edit?
I'll explain. So I don't know if anyone listening knows what I'm talking about when I say edit, but like people on YouTube will make edits of different scenes from a show or movie and put it to a song. And they're just really for the people in that fandom. It's like, it seems like it should be really niche, but I feel like there's probably a big crossover with people who watch Gilmore Girls and people who listen to Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I would agree with that analysis.
I would guess so. But anyway, there's an edit of characters from the Gilmore Girls, Rory and Jess, in their like relationship timeline. There's an edit of that with Taylor Swift's cardigan over it. And I thought it was a really good edit. And you can still hear them talking. Like, it has the audio from the show over the song.
Yeah, so I watched it. Disclaimer, both me and Grace are massive Gilmore Girls fans. And, well, I don't know if you're a massive fan.
I haven't finished it okay. yet, so I can't claim that. I'm still on the last season.
Okay, I'm a massive Gilmore Girls fan, and I only watched it for the first time last year. And obviously we're both fans of Taylor Swift. And I will say it kind of links with the theme of does a video increase your love of a song? Because Cardigan was my least favourite song on Folklore. Another big statement. It's just a day for big statements.
Your least favourite?
Yeah.
More than Epiphany?
See, I like Epiphany, especially after hearing her reasoning behind some lyrics in the Long Pond studio session. I just can't listen to it all the time because it's a bit slow and depressing. But I still prefer it as a song to Cardigan.
Wow, that is bold. I love Cardigan.
Unpopular opinion.
What do you not like about Cardigan?
Oh no. It feels bad to make such a bold statement without clear reasons why I don't like it.
Just do it. That's what we have the podcast for.
I don't have clear reasons why I don't like it. I think it doesn't hit me, really. And I don't know. I just don't really like it. And I think that's not a good enough reason. The first time I listened to it, the whole imagery of like you put me on like a cardigan under someone's bed, I really saw what she was trying to do there, and I think it creates nice imagery and has meaning behind it, but I just didn't like it. I don't know what to say other than I don't like it. I feel like that's really. I wasn't prepared to have a cardigan discussion. So maybe what's going to happen now, I'll listen to Cardigan, I'll make notes on why I don't like it, and I'll bring it into the next episode,
we can check in with your thoughts on Cardigan.
Yeah, let's please do that.
To be fair, though, like, I don't love Cardigan. I'm not, like, a big, huge fan of Cardigan. I'm, like, upset that you said that. I'm just curious why you really don't like it.
Yeah, we'll check in on the next episode and I'll give you more thoughtful analysis on the cardigan situation because I'm just digging myself a hole here.
But didn't you think it went so well with the edit?
Yes.
It works so well for their relationship.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It was perfect for their relationship. I really liked how in the verses it kind of showed more of the turmoil of their relationship. In terms of should they be together, are they right for each other? And then in the chorus, it was more clips of them actually being together and how they were actually good for each other. And I also liked how the clips that were chosen mirrored the lyrics so well.
There's one specific part, I can't remember what it is.
There's a bit where she says, like, see you in the grocery line, and then it's a shot of them in Dosey's Market, and then there's see you on my porch, and then there's just loads of Jess in Rory's porch. And that made me not laugh, but like it made me happy. I was like, you've done this edit right. You've got the right clips there.
Yeah, shout out to, I just looked up the name of the YouTuber, Kindred Spirit. You did a good edit. if you ever listen to this.
I also thought that the song fits so well because of the lyric, when you are young, they assume you know nothing. And then it picked really good clips in terms of them being naive with each other. And yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed the video edit, even though I seemingly have a dislike for Cardigan, so.
Yeah, I think that like with watching the video and being a little distracted by the audio from the edit, it gave me more space to be distant from the song, and I could like feel the build of the drama of the song without having to think too much about the imagery in the lyrics, because I was already looking at the imagery of the edit.
I think also you end up listening to the song in a more sonic way. So it's more about how the song sounds and the feel of it and how that affects what you're seeing in terms of emotion. So it's like you say, it's not so much about the lyrics, it's about the feel of it and how it relates to the clips that are put over it.
Yes, I agree. Because I guess with Cardigan... Now we're just like having a this episode's called like what we think about Cardigan. We don't even do the whole theme. I agree that I don't love the lyrics. I don't love the sentiment of the song. I mean, I love the parts about like I knew all this would happen, but I mean the Cardigan metaphor itself I'm not obsessed with. But yeah, you don't have to think about that. Sonically, I think it's a really good song with good melodies, good instrumentation.
Yeah, I agree. Even the section, like you were saying, when it's like, I knew you standing in it. Oh, wait, did I even start singing that right? You know the
close
part
enough,
I mean.
Yeah.
Close enough. Those melodies are really strong, I think. So well done, Kindred Spirit. Did a great
job.
Good
job, Kindred Spirit. We love to edit. We love Gilmore Girls.
So for today's episode, we thought we'd discuss songs with names in the titles.
I will say that I got this idea from the American Songwriter magazine, because they'll post things on their Instagram sometimes that says, they said, what's your favorite song with a name in the title?
I also posted that a little question box on my Instagram story. So I'll comment down some of the songs that you guys suggested, so it's songs you love. But today we're going to discuss the songs we love with names in the titles.
Yes, songs that we love. What do you want to talk about first?
I feel like we've got to go straight in and just start with Jolene, Dolly Parton.
All right, yeah. So if you haven't listened to Jolene by Dolly Parton, I don't know how you've escaped that song in your life. I don't know if it's as big in England as it is here, but I feel like it's a like extremely standard song.
Yeah, I think most people will definitely know it. It's hard to say because it's been a big song in my life, just in terms of like my dad would always play it. So I just grew up with that song. So I don't know if it's a general British experience that people will know Jolene, but I think everyone's definitely heard it and will be able to sing the chorus.
I would classify it in my ultimate tier of perfect songs, like songs that I just think I cannot tell you a flaw in that song.
You've started with the bold statements now.
Well, I feel like if some time has passed, I'm not sure what year that song came out. It's very old. But if some time has passed, like, you can deem that. Like, Yesterday by the Beatles is, like, pretty commonly, I feel like, could be considered a perfect song.
Yes. Yeah, I would agree. It came out in, Jolene came out in 1973. No, I completely agree in that sense that if a song really does age well and you still love to listen to it, then why not put it in your perfect God tier of songs?
Yeah, it's definitely God tier to me. I love that it's based around the name Jolene.
Yes, yeah, because sometimes there will be someone's name in the title of the song, but then it's never actually said in the whole song.
Spoiler alert, a song we're going to talk about later.
But yeah, we'll get onto that later, but I agree. It is. I wonder if she literally sat down and was like, I'm going to write a song about a woman named Jolene.
Well, she did, because I heard somewhere that apparently she met a girl who came to, I think, one of her concerts, who was like a teen girl that was like a like fan of her, whose name was Jolene. And she just thought, Jolene, I'm going to make a song like that.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
There might have been more to the story, but something like that, where she met someone named that and then wrote the song around it.
I think that's so cool, though. Just, I mean, I guess that's what all songs are, experiencing things in everyday life and then writing about it. But where it's such a specific experience, like you just met a girl called Jolene, so then you go and write a whole song about it.
And I love that that song just, like, paints this entire character so well. Like, you get her, like, hair color, eye color, skin color, and all her descriptions about her voice and her breath or something like that.
Yeah, they're such detailed lyrics, and also I love the lyrics because of the internal rhyme scheme in a lot of the lyrics. So it's like, I could easily understand how you could easily take my man. And there's other ones where it's even within the same line. I just love the rhyme scheme throughout the lyrics.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, just a great song.
I also think, as I was listening to it earlier to refresh my memory of the classic, the guitar riff is just so good. The way it opens up the song and immediately sets the tone of what the subject matter of the song is going to be, and then it just kind of continues throughout the whole song and fades off at the end of it as well.
Yes, totally. There's a version that someone made on YouTube where they took the song and they slow it down to like a quarter speed or something like ridiculously slow, and it sounds amazing. And, like, everything is so perfect, because it's a really fast song. Yeah. So then when they slow it down really slow, it just sounds like a kind of slow grooving song. And then it's, like, everything's lowered a lot. So her voice, she sounds like Tracy Chapman, basically. Like, her voice is just low and, like, smooth.
Oh, my gosh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, you have to listen to it after this. Because you can really tell, like, how perfect the execution of the song is when you hear it super slowed down and there's still no flaw in any instrument or voice.
Wow. I can't wait to listen to that.
Well, and that song's definitely, like, as far as I know, a made-up person. No one with
name. That's another interesting thing that I was thinking about. I don't know if I'd ever have the guts to write a song about someone. I guess if it's a friend or a family member, it's different, but especially in terms of relationships, to write a song about someone and use their actual name and keep the same name and divulge all this personal information. Like, it's quite brave.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I've ever written a song with someone's name in it. Definitely not with a name in the title.
I have. I did it for one of my best friend's 21st birthdays. I just kind of wrote a song about us, like, we've been best friends since we were 12, so just kind of us growing up, and yeah, and the name was in the title.
Oh, that's
cute. Yeah, I mean, it will never get posted anywhere. We always do really creative presents for each other, and they're really artistic, so I was like, what can I do? I'll write a song.
Perfect.
I asked Grace to listen to Tommy's Party by Peach Pit, and I love this song just in general, how it sounds sonically as well, but I think it's really cool how the song's called Tommy's Party, and then throughout the song the person will list names of other people that were at the party. So they say Cam, Leslie and Nat, and kind of it's a very conversational style of song, which I think makes it quite relatable, just discussing the antics that night at Tommy's party.
Yeah, I love that song too, and I knew that as soon as you suggested it, I knew that I used to listen to that song a lot, but I could not remember how it went or any of the melodies or anything about it. I just knew that I liked it, and I knew what it was called and what the band was called. And then when I listened to it, I still didn't really remember having listened to it, but I was thinking about how that name, like the title of the song, is so significant. It's like stands out so well that I was able to remember that song and remember that I liked it without being able to remember how it went.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I think even just the name of the song kind of creates this character. Not that it's always the case, but I feel like sometimes even just hearing, like if someone's telling me a story about someone, quite often I'll say, oh, what's their name? As if it's going to make any difference at all. But sometimes I feel like once I hear their name, I'm like, ah, oh, yeah, I've got a better picture now. So just hearing the name Tommy and everything that's gone on at their party, I feel like it also, I don't know, it's just interesting, gives some insight into the whole friendship group by the end of the song.
Yeah, and Tommy just kind of, it kind of sounds like it's your friend, but you're not that close.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know why it sounds like that, but that's the connotation that I get from that. It's not your best friend,
but you know them and you're going to their party.
When I was reading the lyrics of it on Genius today, in the description, the guy from Peach Pit said that the song's supposed to be from Tommy's perspective.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Spanner in the works.
So, apparently, I guess that would be why he doesn't say Tommy in the song. It's Tommy talking to the guy from Peach Pit.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. And that would also make sense. I think there's a lyric in the song that says, there's a pair of shoes that I've not seen next to mine before. So someone's left their shoes at his house.
Yeah, something like that.
I like that.
I will say, like, when I was listening to it today and reading through the lyrics, it's very ambiguous what's going on, which I always love. Like, by the end of it.
Yeah, because it has very specific lines about what's going on, but at the end, it is definitely ambiguous, because I think the song ends with, it seemed like loneliness was all we'd ever know, and now she's knowing you just like I used to.
Yeah, I was like, is there a relationship going on? Is there a love triangle implied? Or is it just a weird, like, nostalgic friendship thing?
That's true. I'd never thought about that before.
I don't know, but I'm glad to not know.
Yeah, I think while specific lyrics are really good, I think sometimes it is nice to be able to have your own interpretation of what's going on.
I love the combination of specific lyrics and ambiguous lyrics in that song.
It really draws you in, I think.
Because then you, like, wish you knew more.
Yes.
You're like, why aren't they getting specific about this part? It must be something really juicy.
Yeah, that's so true. I'd never thought about it before like that, but I really like that.
The first song I thought of when I was responding to the American Songwriter question of what is your favorite song with the name and the title, my first thought was Dear John by Taylor Swift, which Georgina says she's not very familiar with the mid-range of Taylor's discography. So I'm super, super familiar with the Speak Now album. I had the CD back in the day. And I would say, like, I would put Dear John in Taylor Swift's God tier songs. But I'm nice. Curious what your opinion is.
Yeah, so when I listened to it today, I think that's actually the first time I've ever listened to Dear John. I had not heard that song before.
I'm amazed.
Yeah, it's crazy. And when I clicked on it, I wasn't expecting it to be that long. It's like 6 minutes 20 or something like that. Tommy's Party was also 6 minutes, so I think it's interesting when you get into a more conversational style of writing or listing things, you can immediately have a longer song. But that's slightly off tangent. Yeah, so the first time I listened to Dear John, and I have to say, when it first started playing, I was in my element. It's classic. It's classic Taylor. I love Taylor Swift's first album, Taylor Swift, and I kind of thought maybe she didn't really have any more country-ish songs as it went on. It's not super country, but it is definitely in that vein, I'd say.
It's pretty country.
Yeah, I was surprised. That's why I was surprised, because I love her first album, and then I literally hit play and I was like, oh, I'm home. Here we go.
Yeah, there's a lot of country songs on Speak Now. And do you know Fearless?
I listened to most of Fearless a few months ago because you recommended it.
Fearless is still, like, all country for the most part.
Yeah, which I was happy about. It's not even secret. I like country music, so. Yeah, Dear John. I also thought it was interesting how she had that I don't know if it's typical across all country music, but where she has male backing vocals in the chorus, I always think that's a really interesting touch, because it's usually, if there's harmonies or backing vocals, it's kind of just the artist's own voice layered. But to actually have someone else sing them, and for it to be a man as well, really kind of adds to the storytelling in the song.
Yeah, I feel like it is kind of a country thing, because it's kind of like your family, like a family number.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But okay, so you know that the song's about John Mayer?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
Okay, that's like the whole tea of the song, is that it's about John Mayer. It's like just a huge diss about John Mayer, and that's why like the guitar in the beginning, when it's like, it sounds like straight out of a John Mayer song.
Oh, and that's why it had that little bit of, it was like really random. There's like an electric guitar riff towards the end of the song that just plays for a bit as well.
Yeah, she's just referencing John Mayer.
Oh, wow. I need to listen to the song in a new light now.
Oh, I should have told you that.
What are your thoughts on the song as a whole then, as it's one of your favorites?
I love that song. I think it's really catchy. The lyrics are just incredible. I think it's one of the best songs in my whole life.
Wow.
I love the bridge. I love when she says, I'm shining like fireworks over your sad empty town. I love that part. I love when she says, wondering which version of you I might get on the phone tonight. Talked about that line in the last podcast.
Yeah, when I heard that, I was like, yeah, Olivia Rodrigo. And also, not that it's got anything to do with it, but Taylor also says traitor in that song. So
you'll add my name to a long list of traitors who don't understand. I feel like it's songs like that that gave Taylor the reputation of writing too many songs about her exes.
Okay.
Because it's just such an obvious diss to John Mayer, and I guess people didn't like that, but from what the song is so honest that it makes it sound like he really did something bad.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of an example of what we were talking about earlier, where she didn't even change the name. She just went for it and was like, Dear John.
Yeah, and I think people criticized her for being too nail on the head, but I kind of love it, because what she was saying in the song was like, don't you think 19's too young to be messed with? So I guess he was really, like, playing her for a fool in some type of way when he was, like, at least, like, 10 years older than her or something.
Yeah, that line really stuck out to me, actually, even though I clearly had no clue what was going on, like, what it was about. That line stuck out to me. And I think also, even if it was a nail on the head, I think there were metaphors, and it wasn't straight, like, I think I heard a line saying, like, you played me as part of your chess game, but you change the rules every day.
Yeah, good stuff. Good metaphor.
We love it. I mean, I'm just interested to go and listen to it back now,
yeah,
knowing that and also just focusing more on the lyrics. But upon first listen, I really liked it.
Well, I'm glad you finally got to listen to that, because that song is a banger.
Straight up banger. So I also picked a song from my favorite band. They're called Clean Cut Kid. They're a smallish band from Liverpool. I think they still might get quite big. I just love their music so much. So the track's called Emily.
I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I liked it.
There was one melodic part that I really liked, like at the end of the chorus. Maybe you can think of what it is.
At the end of the
chorus.
There's
like a little like vocal run part. It just sounds like a little sparkle.
But was it as part of a lyric or just a run?
I think it was like Emily.
Oh yeah. It's Emily, Emily, Emily.
Yeah, that part. I loved that part.
Nice.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
I just love the song. I think it talks about an important subject matter. It's kind of about mental health and how, you know, worrying about a friend who's maybe not in a great place, but it's mixed with just, you wouldn't know it's about that if you weren't listening to the lyrics, just from how it sounds sonically. And I love how, so Mike, who's the lead singer, he predominantly does the vocals and his wife Evelyn does kind of backing vocals. And I liked, this was one of the first songs of theirs, I think, where, so he sung the first verse and she sung the second verse. And I think their voices just sound really nice together. Kind of, as they've progressed as a band, they kind of increasingly give me Fleetwood Mac vibes as well, especially with their latest album. This song's from their second album.
Yeah, I loved when the vocal switched. At first, when I first listened to it and I wasn't reading the lyrics, I was thinking that when the wife comes in and sings that she was supposed to be Emily responding.
And oh, then I
when
see.
Then when I read the lyrics and like gathered what was actually occurring in the song, and it's like both of them talking to their third person friend.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was really sweet. It's cool. It's like a friend intervention almost.
Yeah.
Through the song.
Yeah, which I think is cool, because, I mean, it just depends what you listen to, but I think it's not wrong to say that a lot of songs are written from the perspective of being in a relation, like a romantic relationship. So to actually have it from a friend's perspective, I think is always nice in a song.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever in my life heard a song that is the perspective of a romantic couple talking to a third person collectively.
Yeah, that's interesting. I guess also, I don't know if it is meant to be. I think Mike writes a lot of the songs himself, but I'd never really thought about the fact that they are a couple and how that fits into like the context of the song. I like that.
Yeah, it's like the friend to the friend of the two of them.
Which is cool and interesting, because also when you are in a couple, you do end up having like a lot of the same friends.
Yeah, it's like they're friends of the both of them.
I think the bridge is really nice. The bridge really builds, I think, and then the song just ends with a fade out. And I feel like fade outs have gone out of style a bit, but they're just good every now and then.
Yeah, I can never make up my mind about how I feel about a fade out. Lately, I like it.
I like them in specific contexts, I think. I think it's just whether it suits the song or not, to be honest, for me anyway.
Yeah, I feel like for a while I was really anti fade outs, but then I got so frustrated, like having to record songs and end them on like a chord,
or end them on like a perfect beat or a perfect note.
Yeah, like where you like end it on a really nice chord, and then doing that for every single song is just so redundant.
Yes. Yeah,
it's like, we get it, it ends on a nice little chord.
But I think it is also important whether you end on a nice chord that really fits, or if you end on a suspension, it can really add to the sentiment of the song. But I agree, if done right, I do like a fade out, and it just solves the problem of having to think of a good ending.
Yeah, I like ending on a, like a, it's almost like the punctuation of the song. Like, are you going to end it with a hard period or a question mark or like a comma?
Or an ellipsis, a dot, dot, dot.
An ellipsis, yeah.
I love that.
Or like an exclamation point.
That's so true. I like that analogy of how you end the song is the punctuation you use at the end.
Yeah, like some songs, it's like, are you still left without the information you need, or is it a song where the question of the song is answered at the end?
Yes. Yeah.
I have to think about these things.
You're giving me lots of food for thought. I'm just going to come off of this episode and just be sitting there just thinking. Thinking about all the nuggets of knowledge you've given me in this episode. And I will also say, before we move on from this song, it's interesting that so on this album, Pain Wave, they've actually got 3 songs with names in the titles on one album, which I think is very interesting.
Wow.
So there's this song, Emily, they've got one called Jason, and then there's another song called Hayden, Give Love. And on their first album, there's also a song called Evelyn. So they've got the names with the songs in the titles down.
Interesting.
I don't think I could write that many songs with names in the titles without them starting to sound the same, or me just repeating the person's name constantly in the chorus.
Yeah, Taylor Swift has a good bit of them. I mean, she has Dear John, Hey Steven, Betty, Dorothea. That might be it.
I mean, that's quite a good few, to
but
be
four,
fair.
I mean...
Yeah.
Well, I feel like we've already been talking about a lot of stuff. I don't really feel like talking about Layla anymore, because I feel like we already covered the points of it. Only reason I wanted to talk about Layla is because I know that that's not the actual name. It was confirmed to be written about a real person, but her name was not Layla. Because it had to be obscured, because she was married to George Harrison.
Well, then everybody can just look up who George Harrison's wife is and know.
Well, I just don't remember. Like, I think her name was Patty, but I don't want to be like quoted on that. I'm so bad with names and dates
but
and stuff.
Linking that to the Beatles then, Hey Jude, obviously a very famous song with a name in the title, and John and Yoko's son, but his name's not Jude, it's Julian. So that's another one where the name has been changed.
Yeah. Well, it's not John and Yoko's son. It's just John's.
Oh yeah.
It's John and his wife before.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And then John and Yoko had another son called Sean, I think.
Yeah. Okay, but I do want to talk about Pete Davidson, because I just think it's really funny.
Yeah, so do you want to explain the Pete Davidson situation?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about just the... Going off the theme of names in songs, there's so many ways you can go with it, where you could use a name that is not their name. Like, you can use a pseudonym for them, or you could use like a variation on their name. I can't think of an example, but I feel like I've heard of people doing that before.
Yeah, yeah.
But Ariana Grande just went ahead and made a song with the first and last name of her fiancé, Pete Davidson, who since then the engagement was called off, and now she's married to someone else. But that song doesn't say his name in it or anything, but I just love that it was, this name of the song is just Pete Davidson. It makes even more sense that he's also a celebrity, and so people know him by his first and last name because he's famous.
Do you think someone would do that if the other person wasn't famous? I guess it would lose that person a lot of their anonymity, just being like, oh yeah, Pete Davidson, and then people can be like, oh, who's, especially in today's culture, start going through Instagram and searching up, oh, Pete Davidson, who are they, who are you with?
It'd be so awkward, imagine. Like, imagine if, like, without permission, I just released a song of someone's first and last name.
And in the...
It's so funny.
Yeah, and in the process, just they lose all their personal information at the same time.
Yeah. But it is good that the song is not that deep or anything. I mean, she says, like, I know you know that you're my soulmate. And how they're going to be happy and have a good life together. It's just like a sweet little interlude-y song.
Yeah, and it's only a minute and a half, I think. And I quite like the idea of having the name in the title and not necessarily saying their name again, but just knowing that everything you say in the song is about that person.
Yeah, it's just completely confirmed that that's who she was talking about.
Yeah, exactly. I will also say, as I was... So I drafted some honourable mentions for the episode. So songs that we haven't discussed but are just classic.
Ooh, okay.
Maybe this is what people will think of when they think of a song with a name in the title. First song, which relates to what we were just talking about, is Grace Kelly by Mika.
Oh, I don't know that song. I love Grace Kelly, though.
Oh, no, you know that song. You know that song. It's... I can be blue, I can be violet sky, I can be anything I like.
I don't know that song. Why do you think I know it?
Oh, okay. You have to listen to Grace Kelly by Mika. I don't know if it's a British thing then, maybe, but it's just such a classic. That song comes on, everybody's singing. Oh, it's just a great song.
It must be a British thing. I've never heard of that in my life. And I feel like I would remember because it's my own name.
Do you know who Mika is?
No.
Oh, wow. Okay, it's just a cultural difference then. But Grace Kelly. Grace Kelly Mika is an absolute tune. We've already mentioned Hey Jude by the Beatles. Stacey's Mum by Fountains of Wayne.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Absolute classic. I used to sing that on... PlayStation 2, SingStar. That was my jam. And Come On Eileen by Dexy's Midnight Runners.
Good one. I hate that song.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I just feel like I associate it with people that bother me. Not for any real reason. It's nothing to do with the song.
Fair enough. I get, sometimes it comes on and I just really don't want to listen to it because I've heard it so many times, but it does put me in a good mood, especially the build up towards the end.
It is about one of the most joyous songs I've ever heard.
I like that description. I would agree with that statement. And the last one I put on just an honourable mention, I'm also now thinking maybe, I don't know if you know this song, do you know Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond?
Yeah, I know that song.
Okay. Yeah, I just feel like that's a classic as well. It's whenever there's, like, a family party or something, Sweet Caroline always gets put on and everybody's a bit drunk and just absolutely goes for it.
See, I don't know what that song's actually about, but in my mind, I figure it's about a girl named Caroline, but I always associate it with Carolina because that's where I live, and people will say, like, Caroline, talking about North Carolina.
Oh, I see.
And I guess maybe they mean South Carolina sometimes. Just the whole thing.
Oh, okay. I get you. It's funny. When we decided we were going to do this, I couldn't think of many. Emily, Clean Cut Kid, was the first one that popped into my head. But then I just started going through my playlists. And actually, there were way more than I thought. I was like, oh my God, how are we gonna pick? I mean, there's also Billie Jean, Michael Jackson. You know, haven't even...
Oh, yeah. That's true. Haven't even touched that.
Yeah.
Do you like Faye Webster?
I haven't heard of Faye Webster.
What? Okay. No, you would love her. She's like happening right now.
she's so happening right now.
She is though. But her like not her most recent, but her second most recent album, she has a song called Johnny, and then later it's like Johnny Reprise.
Ooh, okay. And it's a good
song.
You
would love her. She's awesome. She's just like singer-songwriter from Atlanta. She's really good.
Okay, another person to add to the list to listen to. I think I'm going to have to re-listen to the podcast to get all the recommendations that have been given throughout.
Bob Dylan has a lot of songs with names in them. It's got Visions of Joanna. Oh, someone did send that in into my Instagram question of people's favorite songs with names in them.
Okay, yeah.
I don't remember what else anyone said.
A song called Samson by Regina Spektor.
Oh, I love Regina Spektor.
Yeah, someone recommended a song called Samson, so we'll have to give that a listen as well.
Oh, that song's really good. Yeah, and it's talking about, like, the Samson story from the Bible, which is, like, Samson who, I guess, like, cut off, had long hair and then cut it off and then lost all his powers.
Oh. that sounds interesting. I haven't heard that story
before.
Well,
that's, like, the original story, but then Regina Spektor, like, flips it and is saying, like, that she's in love with this guy, Samson, and then he cut off all his hair and everything was fine.
Fair enough. I like
Oh, I got a good one that I really like. Do you know, he's British, Jai Paul?
No.
What? He's British.
Yeah, I don't know every British person.
Okay, well, he has a song called Genevieve. That song is good. My friend Ray showed that to me a couple years ago.
That's an interesting name as well. Like, it's not necessarily a typical name, if you know what I mean. Which makes it more intriguing, I think. I feel like even choosing a name that's perhaps not so common is a good thing to do, because it makes it more memorable in a way. And also then if people are called that name, that's going to be like their song, like the one song that has their name in the title.
Oh, you know the song Maybelline by Chuck Berry?
No, I don't know that song either.
I feel like I mainly know it from like my music history classes, because that song would always come up. It's like just being really influential in rock and roll. It was like one of the first rock and roll songs. Maybelline, nice. Interesting name. Never met anyone named that.
I just think of the makeup.
Yeah, but this was so long before, probably. I don't know when Maybelline started making makeup.
Oh, I imagine after Chuck Berry wrote this song.
I don't know. Some of those companies that you wouldn't expect are, like, really, really old. Probably not Maybelline, though.
Yeah, that just feels, like, not that old. I'm gonna look it up, though, now. I'm intrigued.
Like, I would guess it probably started in, like, the 80s or something. But, I mean, sometimes stuff like that will be, like, 1902, and it's really surprising.
When did Maybelline, I don't know, start? That's not the right word.
Start when was it making founded?
Makeup. Yeah, when Maybelline found. Oh, here we go. Wait. Wow. 1914.
I told you.
Oh, well, and on that note, thank you very much.
Thanks
for
listening to this podcast, you guys.
Yeah, we hope you enjoyed everything we talked about. We'll see you soon in the next one.
Next week, next month, whenever.
Bye.
Bye.